yesterday afternoon at approximately 2 o'clock. I hope you enjoyed hearing the ceremony that they had. It really was a very nice ceremony. They did have Emerald High School's ROTC present the colors, and then they did have a prayer, and it was a nice ceremony, very, very nice ceremony. The plaques are beautiful. The plaques are beautiful. And I guess the only question that remains to be seen is if Senator Floyd Nicholson and Parks will be able to get the law changed or amended, I guess we should say, amended down there in Columbia. This is, of course, the law that they want to amend is actually called the Heritage Act, and actually started back in 1976 was when it was passed. It was amended in the year 2000 and has on quite a, I would say, regular basis over the years received challenges. In 2000, the biggest challenge it received was when they were talking about moving the Confederate flag from the State House, and that is where the law, this is what prompted the law to be changed to reflect what it reflects today, and that's the statute that says you can't change, alter, or move a monument. So we'll just have to see what happens there and see if they can get the law changed. And of course, I'm sure that'll be going on most of the year. Something that Senator Floyd Nicholson is starting now, and hopes by the end of session to be able to get it passed. Of course, it does take 2/3 of the legislature to do that. Also, Floyd Nicholson, Senator Floyd Nicholson, will be joining us Thursday afternoon on Meet Me at the Diner to talk about this and a whole lot of other issues that are facing our state. And, of course, they go back to work next week. I really like it, guys. They went down there for a few days last week, got sworn in and everything. Then they needed to take a few days off, and then they go back next Tuesday. But looking forward to sitting down and talking to Floyd and seeing what we can find out. One of the big issues this year is, of course, the lawsuit that had been filed over 20 years ago dealing with the poor districts. One of the districts, and I guess one of the lead districts originally, was Abbeville. And what a difference different districts have in their tax dollars that can contribute to the schools. Well, that was finally ruled on by the courts, and the courts have said that they've got to be that students have a right to a fair, and equitable education, and that they should not, poorer districts should not be left in the dust, shall we say. I'm paraphrasing. But we are going to actually have Senator Tom Davis. He and Senator Kevin Bryant wrote a op-ed piece, an immediate legislative response to the court's education decision. There's really a lot going on behind the scenes, I guess we should say. They wanted to come on, and we are going to have Senator Tom Davis on with us on the line in just a moment to discuss what all this means. One of the things that is very apparent by this ruling by the courts is the courts are actually maintaining the control, which is kind of different and something I hope I get to talk to with Senator Tom Davis, who I believe is on the line with us. Senator
I'm
Tom
here.
Davis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Last time I talked to you, I think, was down in Florida at the Republican convention.
Oh, my gosh. That's going back a ways.
Yeah, it is. But I did talk to you down there. So how are you doing today?
Pretty good. I mean, I'm up in Columbia, and I was just sitting in listening to the Senate Judiciary Committee take up the ethics bill, and they just passed it by a vote of 19-1. So that ethics bill will now make its way to the Senate and be on the Senate calendar tomorrow, where it has to sit for at least 24 hours before it can be taken up. But I strongly suspect that it will be taken up very quickly because it is a very pressing issue. So that's what's been going on today.
Wow. Well, that's pretty exciting. I thought you guys weren't working this week.
Well, session is not in today, Tuesday, but committee meetings were meeting today, and Senate Judiciary met to take up the ethics bill, and we'll be back in full session tomorrow morning.
So what does it mean that it, Pat, what does this mean?
Well, I mean, a bill got filed, an ethics bill, a comprehensive ethics reform bill was filed earlier this year. Subcommittee hearings were held, I believe, in November and December by the Senate Judiciary Committee. And then just now, a few minutes ago, the full Senate Judiciary Committee, on which half the Senate sits, 23 senators, they voted 19-1 to pass the bill out favorably, which means it now makes its way to the Senate calendar and it will be taken up by the entire Senate probably sometime early next week, I would bet.
Wow, okay. Well, that's pretty good movement then.
Yeah, we're off and running. It's one of the big issues this year. I mean, certainly road funding is important. Ethics reform is important, and I suspect what we're going to talk about now, education reform, will also be important.
Absolutely. Well, you know, there's been I know you're very familiar. There was a lawsuit filed 20-some-odd years ago, and it's finally made its way through the courts. Am I correct on that?
You are correct. The state Supreme Court, a couple of months ago, issued a ruling saying that the system of public education that's provided for by the General Assembly is violative of the Constitution because it is not delivering satisfactory educational outcomes. And the state Supreme Court has directed the General Assembly to look at our system of public education as a whole and to figure out what's going wrong and why we're not getting better outcomes for the money we put in.
And we actually put a lot of money in, don't we, Tom?
Well, and that's correct. I mean, if you read the state Supreme Court decision, I mean, it clearly says it's not about money. I mean, it talks about, you know, every other year the General Assembly passes another funding program, which it layers upon the one passed the year before that and the year before that. And the state Supreme Court said, look, this is not about money. I mean, the most money goes into the districts where the worst education outcomes are happening. So you got to do something beyond that. You can't just simply tax and spend more money. You got to figure out what's going wrong. But the ironic thing is a lot of the professional educators in our state, whether you're talking about the South Carolina Association of Superintendents or the South Carolina Association of School Boards or the South Carolina Association of School Administrators, they all read that decision as being a mandate for more taxes. And in fact, what they're pushing now is a brand new statewide property tax that would generate about $700 million more to put into an education system that's essentially broken. I mean, that is not the thing we need to be doing. We need to figure out why we're not getting the educational outcomes given the money we put into it, which is right around the national average.
Correct. And one of the things that I was reading, of course, there is a big disparity between districts that have the big businesses, BMW, the ports, and all the Boeing and this type of thing, and yet it's disparaging difference between those that don't have good business in their communities.
There's no question that there are school districts that are failing the kids. Let's be clear about that. We're not getting the educational outcomes that we should, and we need to make reforms. Let me make that very clear to start. But I think the primary reform is this. In every other sector of our economy, we have competition. We have free market principles at work. We have producers that are competing with each other to provide to consumers. We have consumers that have choices. And as a result, you get a superior product at a lower price. We don't have that system at work at all in public education. In public education, public schools pretty much have a captive audience because individuals who live in a certain zip code have to go to that particular public school. Now, why, if we see the free market working, if we see competition working and delivering quality products at lower costs in every other sector of the economy, why wouldn't we have the same philosophy when it comes to reforming our system of public education? Why wouldn't we want to give parents more choices? Why wouldn't we want to empower parents to decide where their kids are going to go to school, whether it's a parochial school or a charter school or a magnet school? I mean, you create choices, and you make those providers, the schools, compete for that business. And if they're not delivering excellence, if they're not delivering a good product, they're not going to get the business. That's what's worked elsewhere. It would work in public education as well.
You know, I think I agree with that argument, but I think it's a very interesting argument on the other side about what would happen to our public schools if that option was opened, is that the public schools would not be able to compete and there would be inferior education within our public school systems.
Why would they be unable to compete, though? I mean, think about it. I mean, if you're talking about, we're talking about providing education to kids in South Carolina.
Right.
You know, we're talking about a mandate, a constitutional requirement that we have a system of free education for kids in South Carolina. Why does that mean we have to have the model we have right now where public schools have a certain region, and everybody who lives in that region has to go to that public school. When did we get to the point where we bought into that's the way it has to be? I mean, that's the mentality we need to break here, and we need to break down the mentality that this socialistic, you know, monopolistic model is not working with education. Why not go ahead and open things up, and instead of giving power to administrators, instead of giving power to bureaucrats, give power to the parents. Let those parents decide where their kids are going to go. Let that free market system work, and you're going to see a superior product delivered for a better price.
Well, isn't that the problem? That is the problem, the administrators and the teachers and the fear. Instead of upping their game, the fear of how to compete should these others be put in place.
Well, that's absolutely right. And you look at what the state Supreme Court said right now. They said far too much money that we put into public education goes to bureaucrats, goes to administrators, and far too little money goes to teachers that are actually teaching. Far too little money goes into the classroom for supplies. I mean, we have a system right now that's run by individuals who have a vested interest in making sure things stay right the way they are. They're happy right now with the system the way that it is because, you know, you've got teachers right now making $40,000, $50,000 a year, and they're looking at administrators making $175,000, $190,000 a year. Now, if you're a teacher, what are you going to do? Are you going to stay in the classroom, or are you going to go ahead and try to migrate upward in the bureaucracy? We have perverse incentives in place right now. We don't reward and pay teachers adequately. We encourage them to go to the non-productive areas of administration. That has to change.
Absolutely. You know, one of the good things that did come out last year, though, was the educational credits for special needs children. I think that was a real boom and showed what can happen.
Absolutely. And I co-sponsored that particular legislation with my colleague, Senator Bryant. And Ann, as a result of that, these children with special needs, they're getting much better care, much better education at a much lower cost. And that's empirically true. We can demonstrate that. We can look at the outcomes that these special needs children are getting, and we can look at what it's costing the state, and we know that they're getting better results for lower cost. Now, if it's working there, why wouldn't you want to take that same model and apply it to the whole system of public education? I mean, why would you turn your back on something that's obviously working? And I tell you why. It's because people in power are afraid of losing that power. The bureaucrats and administrators that currently run the system, a system that's broken, by the way, want to keep things just the way they are. And what they propose is to dump $700 million more into that broken system by establishing a brand new statewide property tax. That's just wrong.
I think that we don't need more taxation, particularly on property, that is for sure.
Well, it's coming down like a freight train right now. I mean, because they're all lining up behind that. They're lining up behind it, and they call it the Jobs and Education Tax Act. They have a nice name for it, JET, South Carolina JET. And they want to establish this tax as if layering one more funding stream on top of a broken system is going to change things. I mean, it's the definition of insanity. We do the same thing over and over and over again. We dump more money into the system. We don't fix the system.
Well, now, in discussion, though, what do you think about what Governor Haley wanted when she was talking about teachers and getting them to stay in the areas maybe that they came from, some advantages for those that go into the disadvantaged areas of our state?
I like the emphasis on teachers. I like the emphasis on adequately compensating and increasing compensation for teachers. I like the idea of paying them what they're worth. They're the most valuable people in our system of public education, is that teacher in the classroom. That teacher in the classroom is the one that teaches a kid how to read, how to write, the basic facts of science.
Sure.
I mean, that is the most important person in our public education system, and yet they're the ones that are routinely shortchanged. So I like the emphasis being placed on teachers, and I think we need to do more of that. And I think if you move to a system where the schools that succeed and the schools that deliver excellence will be the ones that are funded, you're going to find out they're the ones that treat their teachers right.
Sure. You know, we had Representative Mike Pitts on with us, so I guess it was a week, 10 days ago. His idea, and I'm just going to paraphrase it real quick, I think this is something he's working on in the House, is that you pay top dollar for the best teacher, you use technology, whether they go into the classroom through the technology, through online, and then you have monitors within the class that work with the students in the class. But that best teacher that we pay top dollar for, from wherever they have to come from in the country, comes in here and they teach really a lot of kids by doing it online.
That's exactly the result you want. The question becomes, how do you get to that result? And the way you get to that result is by rewarding the schools that deliver excellence, by letting parents choose what schools to send their kids to. And I can tell you, as a parent of three children, I'm going to send my child to the school that does reward teachers, that does use technology, that does use cutting-edge things to provide the best education. So as a result of empowering parents and letting parents decide where to send their kids to school, you're going to see schools adopt those very things that Representative Pitts is talking about.
Yeah, but Tom, do you think our parents are smart enough to do that? I can see that being an argument right there.
I do. I have faith in the people of South Carolina, Ann. I think that's the argument that professional educators make all the time, is that, you know, parents are too lazy, or parents aren't informed, or parents don't care, so therefore the state has to step in and assume those responsibilities. I just don't buy that argument. I don't buy that at all. If you give parents the power, if you say they have the choices they can make, they're going to do what's best for their kids. I firmly believe that.
What about early education, though, Tom? How do we get our kids going into school, I hate to use this phrase, but on a level playing field where they all know how to read, they all know how to do these basic things?
Well, I think we have a good program in place right now in terms of First Steps or ABC vouchers, where parents are empowered to go ahead and choose their early education providers. I think it's extremely important. You want to make sure that they're ready to learn when they get into school. And I think that we ought to expand on those programs and let parents have the options. Empower them to choose the best preschools. What I don't really necessarily agree with is saying that they all have to go to the public education, to the state, that all parents need to take their kids and place them with public schools. Again, I get back to empower parents. Give them the ability to choose which preschool is best for their kid. They know what's best. And so I think we've got a good system in place. It could be better, but we ought to build on that choice model and not simply expand pre-K through 12 to pre-K 3 through 12. I mean, we ought to go ahead and in every instance possible and give power and choices to the parents, because empowering them, making them consumers, is going to spur competition and get better results for a lower price.
Should we do, so you, I guess, would be in favor of the school vouchers where the vouchers follow the students to go to?
I would, absolutely. I think that's ideal. I mean, I think that if you've got consumers and parents, you know, deciding what's in the best interest of their child, and you've got schools having to compete for that business, if you have schools that are going to lose money and lose kids if they don't deliver an excellent product, you're going to start seeing some fundamental changes in the classroom, because parents are going to look at that. They're going to look at test scores. They're going to look at whether teachers are being paid adequately. I mean, the things that we're talking about that are good are going to be a consequence of giving parents power to choose where to send their kids.
Sure. Now, one of the things, though, that is kind of bothersome is the involvement in the courts in this. Isn't this kind of unusual that the courts would be directing the actions?
It is. And quite frankly, I think that the court did overstep and did start to assume what I consider to be legislative functions. But let's put that to one side. One thing that this state Supreme Court decision did do was spark a long overdue conversation about what are the fundamental problems with our system of public education. And what the Supreme Court said is, look, don't just give us another funding program. Don't layer yet another funding program on top of what you did in years past. Get under the hood, figure out what's wrong, and implement systemic reforms. They're right in that regard. They are right in that regard. And so I hope that's what we do this session. I hope we look at how to empower parents, how to give them more choices, how to get more money away from administrators and bureaucrats, down to teachers, how we keep teachers in the classroom, how we reward teachers that are doing a good job. We do those things, those fundamental things right, and we'll have a system of public education in South Carolina we can be proud of, Ann.
You know, when the whole election was going on, we talked to a lot of the people that were running for superintendent of education. And, of course, the question always came down to how do we proceed on this? And now that we have Molly Spearman in place, so we have an elected official there, how is the House and the Senate particularly poised to adapt to this? Are they willing to do this, or is this going to be kicked down the road?
I think it's an uphill battle, to be honest with you, because I've heard leadership in both the Republican and Democratic Party simply talking about how to raise taxes and how to pour money into the system. I haven't heard much about how to reform that system. I haven't heard about let's get under the hood and figure out what's going wrong. We need a lot more of that analysis than we do raising more taxes and pouring more money into a broken system. I mean, definition of insanity, Albert Einstein said, is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. What we've done over the last 30, 40 years is pour more and more money into a broken system, and we've gotten the same result, which is very poor.
Now, what just for throwing out something different here, Tom, how do you think we're going to do on tax reform just on the whole tax code this year?
You know, we've got a lot on our plate right now, Ann. We've got ethics reform. We've got roads and bridges, a lot of deferred maintenance that got to be taken care of. We've got this state Supreme Court decision in regard to fixing our system of public education. So, I'd like to see our tax code reformed. I think that we have a broken code that discourages investment. It discourages entrepreneurs. I think we need to reform that. It becomes a question of priorities. And I think a lot of legislators are looking forward to what Governor Haley has to say tomorrow night in the state of the state to find out what she considers the priorities to be. Because, you know, she won a 15-16-point victory as governor, and she has the right to lead here. She has the ability to govern, and she can lay out what the priorities are going to be. And ask me that question, I guess, on Thursday, and I can probably give you a better answer, Ann.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have Floyd Nicholson on Thursday afternoon. I'll be asking him. How about that?
He's a good man. I enjoy Floyd.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we really appreciate you coming on today, and I'll just let you sum it all up here. What do the folks need to be aware of as this starts down the road when we start talking about education here?
That we're not simply focusing on the amount of money that we put into the system, that we look at the system itself and try to figure out why isn't it delivering a satisfactory product. And I think what I want them to take away is, in every other sector of our economy, competition, choice, free markets has delivered a superior product at a lower cost. We need to start introducing some of those principles into public education, and we'll come up with a system of public education that we're proud of.
Well, Senator Tom Davis, thank you so much for taking time to call us this afternoon. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Ann.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.